Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon and excited to talk to our next guest, Chris Capasso, CBSSports.com. Doing some big work with the 585 area code. And Chris, it's good hearing your voice as always. How you been?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Chris, with all these quarterbacks that you've looked at, between your Daniel Jones, your Mason Rudolph, maybe it's Luke Falk, which guy are you looking forward to the most checking out this Sunday?
Definitely Mason Rudolph, just because I was kind of alone on an island as really the only draft analyst who liked him more than any of those other quarterbacks in the 2018 draft class. When he went to the Steelers, I thought, hey, you know, that's a good organization. They've not only just been good for so long, but they do well at the receiver spot in terms of developing wide receivers. They have a good offensive line. But I figured, hey, this guy might not even ever play with Ben Roethlisberger only in his late 30s. He could technically be, you know, play his entire rookie contract out without even playing. Ben Roethlisberger has a freak injury. Now Mason Rudolph is kind of thrust into the starting lineup. Played pretty well on Sunday, you know, just coming off the bench in that second half. Didn't make any tremendous throws. Had an interception that wasn't his fault, bounce off a wide receiver's hands. But for me, for someone that's big into the draft, so many young quarterbacks being in the league, we're kind of getting some fresh blood that, you know, we haven't been able to evaluate yet. So in general, it's going to be really interesting to see how some of these young players fare, you know, stepping in for some really big names at the quarterback spot.
Now, Chris, while you were high on Mason Rudolph last year, less so this year, on the Giants' new starting quarterback, Daniel Jones. Give us your assessment of Jones coming out of college, and what do you think Giants fans can expect with his first start coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, first off, I don't want to, you know, discredit what he did in the preseason, because he was really good in those exhibition games. But we've seen guys like Blake Bortles. Bills fans remember when Trent Edwards used to seemingly have a good preseason every year. I don't want to put too much into that. He was my number seven quarterback. I compared him to Josh McCown coming out. I think he is in the right system, being with Pat Shurmur. It's a West Coast offense. There's a lot of horizontal routes. He wants Daniel Jones to get the ball out quickly. I don't think Eli Manning had been terrible through 2 weeks, but there was just no reason for him to still be on the field with this team, even with their defense not being what even looks like close to being a contender. I think under pressure is where I didn't really like Daniel Jones. That to be that top prospect, I think you have to work well inside the pocket, moving away from pressure. I always, you know, compare to those elites like a Tom Brady, like a Drew Brees, and a Ben Roethlisberger that can still be calm when there's chaos around them, still make accurate throws. And I think from a clean pocket at the short to intermediate ranges, Daniel Jones can make some good throws. He can throw with anticipation. We saw that in the exhibition games. But under pressure, behind this Giants offensive line, with teams actually game planning, with starters playing, I'm a little concerned how he's going to handle pressure right away, but it's certainly the right move for the Giants organization at this point.
Chris Capasso, CBSSports.com, is where we're talking about some of these, new-to-the-league quarterbacks that we're going to be seeing here in Week 3. A guy who got his chance in Week 2 to start, Gardner Minshew. What did you think of Gardner Minshew coming out? Because after Week 1, we saw the completion percentage and thought, okay, maybe this kid's worth a shot. And, well, Week 2 didn't go so well as the two-point conversion didn't go his way at the end. But Minshew, the prospects that he could be a long-term prospect for Jacksonville, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him as a late day three prospect. I mean, he's running what is now becoming the trendy offense, that air raid attack. You know, there's seven or eight quarterbacks who played in the air raid offense in college that are now starters going into Week 3. Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Mason Rudolph, Gardner Minshew, even Case Keenum, you know, way back in Houston or at Houston was playing in an air raid offense. And it was once kind of seen as this toxic offense that won't translate, but a lot of offensive coordinators are really accepting the merits of getting the ball out quickly and then stretching the field vertically. Minshew, to me, And even based on what I've seen in these first two games, because I've written up my evaluations of these first and second year quarterbacks in week one and week two, he doesn't really have the arm to stretch the field in that air raid type system. I mean, he's not running that in Jacksonville, but at the short to intermediate level, similar to Daniel Jones, he can be surgical. We saw that against the Chiefs. Certainly the Chiefs secondary is not one of the top units. Had a tougher matchup in Houston, and I thought through the first couple quarters he looked overwhelmed. I didn't think that the Jaguars' offensive line necessarily played well against that good Houston front, but in that fourth quarter he showed a lot of resiliency, made some of his better throws, a few of which were down the field. So I think if this offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, who's been in Philadelphia under Frank Reich, worked with Nick Foles, worked with Carson Wentz, can tailor an offense that is going to be death by a thousand paper cuts. I think Gardner Minshew, is he going to turn into a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro as a rookie? Probably not. But I think he can be competent, because at Washington State, that's all that he did was throw the football, find his second and third and even fourth read at times. So he was very experienced throwing the football. We've seen him be very accurate on those short passes through 2 weeks.
He's Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris Trapasso, Danger and Battaglia in the sports bar. Chris, I watched a little bit of that game last night. The Jets fall to 0-2. To see Falk get promoted from the practice squad and thrust into that starting role after the horrible Simeon injury. And listen, I don't know a lot about Luke Falk. What do you know? You scout these guys. What do you know about Luke Falk? And is he going to be the best option for the Jets here while Darnold recovers from mono?
To put it in simple terms, he is a more experienced but a less athletic version than Gardner Minshew. Oh. He was a four-year starter at Washington State under Mike Leach. And at the beginning of his career, that was still when that air raid offense was kind of just seen as this gadget, as this novelty that Mike Leach and a few of his coaching descendants were using that wasn't going to ever work in the NFL. He actually went into his senior year, and I'm pretty sure I was on this show talking about him, with a lot of first or even second round hype. But in that final season, although Washington State had a good year, a lot of times under pressure, his offensive line was not fantastic that year. He just totally crumbled. He does not have a strong arm, but he will get to his second and third read if he doesn't like what he sees on that initial read, which most quarterbacks or a lot of young quarterbacks have trouble doing that. But he was very experienced through a lot of passes at college, and at times could be very, very accurate. But again, at the short, maybe at the intermediate level, I mean, that Jets offense, the play calling is ultra conservative. They want to get into Le'Veon Bell on seemingly every play. So I think, is he someone that's going to average 9 yards per attempt and throw for 400 yards? Probably not. But I think high completion percentage, you know, somewhere in the 200 yard range in terms of passing, it's just hard given what the Jets have on offense right now. The receiver group is limited and the offensive line is probably league average at best.
Chris, your reaction to the trade Pittsburgh made last night, the Steelers at 0-2. Fitzpatrick, certainly a very good player in the secondary, but the idea that if things go wrong, that could be a high first here. Did the Steelers overpay for Minka Fitzpatrick, in your opinion?
It was kind of unprecedented, and I would say probably overpaid a little bit. I mean, most players, they're not exactly like cars. Like, the second you drive it off the lot, it loses value. But for Minka Fitzpatrick to go in the first round 2 years ago and then to be traded for a first-round pick and some change a year later, and he was good as a rookie. Was he great? Did he live up to where he was selected? Probably not. There's some thought that, you know, he should be playing safety, not corner. He's more of a hybrid player. That's how I saw him coming out of Alabama. And just to not play him at one specific position, just let him roam at the second and third level of the defense and make plays. But I do think it does say that the Steelers do not believe that they're going to be bad the rest of the way. They have a decent amount of faith, or maybe a lot of faith, in Mason Rudolph to trade that first-round pick. I saw a tweet today. The Steelers have had a first-round pick in every draft dating all the way back to 1968.
Yeah.
So very unprecedented for that organization to do that. They need to make a move, because despite what Mason Rudolph did, he wasn't fantastic, but he was solid. They were in that game. It was their defense against Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf that really fell short in that game. So they realized they need help in the secondary. So they get that with Minka Fitzpatrick. We'll see how it turns out.
Chris, we know that you had a close eye on the Bills and the Giants on Sunday. I'm curious as to your thoughts on how you see Josh Allen progressing through 2 weeks of the season.
He has been tremendously more patient inside the pocket. And the three or four times that I came on this show before the draft and then after the draft to talk about the Bills drafting Josh Allen, the main point I always said was his accuracy concerns were overblown, that there were a few misses that bailed 5 yards over someone's head, and that he got labeled as that big athletic quarterback with a strong arm who can't hit the broadside of the barn. I didn't see that in my evaluations of him. I was most worried about how he reacted to pressure, and we saw it the first half of last year, and then maybe not as much in the second half when he did play better after his injury, but the first sign of pressure, he was making someone miss most of the time or stiff-arming a linebacker, but he was running out of the pocket. And then he was, you know, throwing across his body. He was running the football. You've seen in these first 2 weeks, and neither of those defenses in New York are fantastic, but he looks to the right, waits. No one's there. No one's there. Looks to the left, throws an accurate pass. So I think you can almost don't even watch where the football goes. Just watch Josh Allen inside the pocket and take note and observe how patient he is. I think that's been the biggest step for him, and it's certainly helped to have guys who can separate in John Brown and Cole Beasley.
Chris Trapasso, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Another team in the AFC East, kind of getting back to Miami here, what they're doing, it's pretty clear. But I'd ask the question this way. Say, okay, congrats, you get the number one overall pick, and you can have Tua or whoever you like at quarterback. Chris, building a team like that, can you actually have tools in one offseason, or might we be seeing a 2 year rebuild here in Miami where you could, something could be said that, hey, make sure the line is set and everything else before you get that quarterback? Because I just look at this Dolphin team. If you dropped in a great quarterback prospect or any quarterback right now, I don't know where you're going.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And for as much as this type of rebuild looks good in theory, and for someone that's a draft guy, I would love to be a GM and to have a glut of first and second round picks. But in today's NFL, coaches and GMs don't just get 4, 5, 6 years to build a team. And I do think because they are truly just scraping off all the talent off this roster, yes, they're going to have a lot of early round picks. Yes, they're going to have tons of money. But should we expect them to be a contender next season? And then Brian Flores is something like, I don't know, 4-28 or whatever going into his third year. Will he keep his job? Even Chris Greer, their GM, he actually started as the GM last season. So he'll be going into year three with a win-loss record well below 500. And it's a lot of the times we see these rebuilding processes, ownership, presidents of teams get fed up and they kind of can't see it all the way through. So that's the only real concern that I have for this Dolphins rebuild, but I certainly like what they're doing more so than where the Jets are with disjointed head coach and general manager. The offensive line isn't great. They, you know, overpaid for CJ Mosley, who's more of a run defender than in coverage. They paid big money to a running back. I think the Dolphins at least have a vision, but that it will be the most important thing that they need to hit on pretty much all of these early round draft picks to turn things around.
Chris, there's another situation that we're monitoring heading into Sunday, and that's in Carolina, where Cam Newton appears to be day-to-day with that foot sprain that he suffered in the preseason. I won't lie, I don't know anything about Cam Newton's backups and Kyle Allen or Will Greer, aside from what we saw when the Panthers came to Buffalo, when the Bills went to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Mm-hmm. And what I saw in that preseason game was, well, let's face it, it just wasn't that impressive.
Yeah, Kyle Allen, his kind of claim to fame now is that all the way back, I think 2014, 2015, at Texas A&M, he actually beat out Kyler Murray for that starting quarterback job, and it kind of led to Kyler Murray transferring to Oklahoma. Kyle Allen never really took off at Texas A&M. He was a big recruit. He's on an NFL roster, and he's going to be starting on Sunday because he's big and he has a big arm. I mean, it kind of sounds like a broken record, but similar to a lot of the reasons why some of these young quarterbacks struggle, accuracy can be hit or miss, and just under pressure, if you can get any type of pressure on him, he just never showed the ability to be calm and make accurate throws when he had, you know, a defender coming in his face from the edge, whatever. And Will Grier is interesting because the Panthers used a top 100 pick on him and said, hey, look, we could be building our team to be a contender, but we're kind of planning ahead for the future after Cam Newton. And for, yes, it's early, but for him to still be the number three quarterback is not a great sign. Put up big numbers at Washington in that air raid system, which maybe that could be the future for this Panthers organization. If Cam Newton, you know, were maybe to be released at the end of the season, they could save almost $20 million if they do that. But right now, they're another team that, you know, we're kind of seeing how important it is to have a quality backup, and I don't think the Panthers have that right now.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com. Never too soon, Chris, to start talking about that 2020 draft. And I'm, you know, I'm sure if you're a Jet fan or any other day, right? But I'll ask you the question about the quarterbacks. How's this first round of quarterbacks looking here in 2020?
Not the greatest, honestly. I mean, it's been all about Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert, and I think they are kind of going to be similar to that 2015 draft, where it was Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and then a huge gap. I mean, unless someone comes on strong over the next couple of months, which they certainly could, someone like a Jake Fromm from Georgia, Jacob Eason at Washington, but I don't even think that Tua Tagovailoa has necessarily played particularly well in terms of making difficult throws through tight windows. He just has so much talent at Alabama. Their offense is swing passes to wide receivers, screens, easy slants, wide open receivers down the field. So I don't know if Tua Tagovailoa is necessarily this Baker Mayfield or certainly not an Andrew Luck type of talent. And Justin Herbert, we're going to see once he gets into the Pac-12 schedule, had an okay game in that big one against Auburn that they lost, has had two big games against lesser competition. He, to me, is someone, because of his size, his athleticism, his arm, and the ability to make those wow throws and maybe even make them more frequently than Tagovailoa, he could be someone that could be a franchise changer. But after that, this is not anything like we're going to see 3, 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks go in the first round. The only other one to watch out for, Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
After Baker Mayfield, after Kyler Murray, Lincoln Riley's system, another air raid, super creative, and he has the athleticism and the ascending passing skills to potentially sneak into the first round.
Chris, you're always gracious with your time to join us here on the Sports Bar. I want to make sure you have plenty of time to tell our listeners what you're working on at CBSSports.com, where they can read your stuff.
Yeah, tomorrow I have a Tua Tagovailoa breakdown. I'm doing that every week. I'm jumping back and forth between Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert. Practice squad power rankings, the most nerdiest football thing I do every week. Practice squad power rankings on Friday. And then we'll get back into more college and NFL draft early next week.
He is from the 585. We're very proud to have a friendship here with Chris Trapasso. Chris, appreciate your time today. Keep up the good work.
Always, guys. Thanks.
You got it. Chris Trapasso at CBSSports.com. Read his stuff. You'll be a smarter football fan for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, boy, like Jalen Hurts? Yeah. Jalen Hurts is the wild card, right?
He's going to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
He's going to win the Heisman. Everybody's going to fall in love with Jalen Hurts. I don't love any of these guys. I don't love Tua. If you're tanking for Tua, good luck.
Well, that's why I honestly think this is a 2-year project in Miami. Think about it. If you could fortify that offensive line and then get your quarterback. If Chris is comparing this to 2015, Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, yay.
Yeah
no, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Mike from Pittsburgh tweeting me at AKA Mike Danger. What does a Bills season look like with a significant Josh Allen injury? Hashtag knock on wood. God forbid Josh Allen has a similar injury to these quarterbacks. What does that mean for Buffalo?
Well,
hey, look, I will say this.
It's true for any team.
But right, yeah. But I mean, in a way, Matt Barkley has you set up for at least a smidge more success than some of these unproven guys or unexperienced guys, right? These inexperienced guys that are new to the league or that just haven't gotten any reps. I mean, at least with Barkley, he might not be great. He might not be good. He's got a handful of starts under his belt and some success in those starts.
Yeah, if you're in a situation like you were last year where it's a 2 to 3 week thing, you're not going to freak out with Matt Barkley. You can get by. And by the way, Saints fans shouldn't freak out with Teddy Bridgewater, okay? If you go 3-3 in the estimated 6 games that Drew Brees will be out, you're going to find yourself fighting still for that division come November. And I think what you see down with the Jets, that should be a cautionary tale that you should always fill the pipeline. I think the Bills did the right thing by not going with the kid from UB. Pop quiz, Bills fans. Who is the quarterback on the Bills practice squad? It's Davis Webb. Let's hope we don't have to mention his name on the show anytime soon.
Adam Schefter just tweeting out that Saints quarterback Drew Brees has decided to have surgery on Wednesday in Los Angeles. Brees said the timetable for his return won't be known until the surgery is complete. The belief going into surgery as he's going to be sidelined about 6 weeks. So nothing really new to report there other than he is going to go under the knife tomorrow in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that's kind of just, I mean, to lose Big Ben, Brees. We can make fun of Cam Newton, what he wears, but if he's going to be out for a while, this, you can't tell me the league is better today with Mason Rudolph, whoever Carolina trots out, Luke Falk. I mean, this is...
It's opportunity for all these kids to, you know, show up and earn their keep and make a name for themselves. But, you're not... your NFL is not the same when you're missing stars, when you're tuning in to see Drew Brees or Big Ben. I mean... Not the same thing. Let's go around the NFL. We've got a bunch of stories to get to here in NFL Appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, so the end of the Eli Manning era, at least you would think for New York, will tell you the change. We'll also tell you the change in Miami. We have that Panthers news. News from the Jets, the Lions, the Chiefs, and more. Busy day coming up in apps.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.